Let's pray before we get started this morning. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I just said that we love Cliff and Lynn. We do. We've been saying that this morning to each other, Lord. We've told each other we love each other as we greet each other. But Lord, you love us. You love us infinitely more than we can fathom. And so let us just rest in that this morning. You love us so much that you gave us your word. You love us so much that you gave us the things that we're going to be talking about this morning. And so you love us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross. And I hold my own son, and I wonder how you could do that. So, Heavenly Father, just help us to settle in and focus on your love and your blessings for us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So a couple weeks ago, I came and I talked to you about marriage. And I started that message out by saying, these are things that have helped me. These are things that I learned from seminary. These are things that I learned from reading some books. That I believe those things are based on Scripture. And since that day, I've been convicted more and more that we got to base everything off of Scripture. And I appreciate so much, Mike, you sharing last Sunday. Thank you. And I left from that just feeling, praise God, convicted. We got to focus on the Scripture, and we got to stay there. I know this, but Mike, your message last Sunday helped me just realize it again, more and more. You know, so praise God how He opens our eyes and helps us to grow, and brings us back to His Word to be our rock, to be our guide, our wisdom. To see His Word more and more as a blessing. It's there to, because He loves us. So, we're going to look at this one more time. We're going to look at marriage one more time. And we're going to be in the Word. But I want to say just a few opening comments. Many times I've come up here and said our nation is falling apart. Our nation is struggling. We see the morals, the families, government rulers just going away from the Lord, going away from His Word. Going away from principles that our nation was founded upon. And we want to pray for our nation and we want to pray for our leaders. But as Christians, we are a part of another kingdom. Amen. We're a part of the kingdom of God. And our main focus should be on His kingdom. Our main focus should be on His church. And so, I want to start by saying the church in our nation is dwindling. We are now considered a post-Christian nation. I was listening to a reputable survey just this week that said that the percentage of people that attend worship services is now below 50%. And has it ever been below 50% since this nation started? And it's going down. I remember Cliff when we were talking the other day, and I said this before, but strong families make a strong church. Weak families make for a weak church. Weak marriages make for a weak church. And so, that's why we're doing this study on family. That's why I want to take the time to go through these things. And there's no question that the family outside of the church is fractured and broken and decaying outside of the church. But the problem is that inside of the church, the family is not doing well. Is not strong. And I believe that's because even the church is getting away from the principles that God has put down for us. So not only are weak families weakening the church, weak families are weakening our nation. That is really the number one biggest problem in our nation is that our families are torn apart. And as the church, we have the solution. It's salvation in Christ who gives us a heart to love these principles of marriage that God's given us. The Lord gives us a heart to rejoice when we read Colossians 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Only the Lord can give us a heart to rejoice in that statement and to know that that's good and that's a blessing. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Again, our main focus needs to be on the church in this right now. Because we're the ones to be an example and to teach and to show the world this is how it should be. In Genesis chapter 2, we see there God creates, in chapter 1, God creates the heavens and the earth. And then in chapter 2, we see God creates man. And that God needs, and that man needs a helper. There is not one who is a suitable helper for man. And so then God makes woman from man. And in that process, we see there the very first authority established between men. That the first authority that God lays down as being a blessing for all of mankind is that the man would lead and that the wife would help. And that was established in the very beginning. And this is good. This is very good. The husband is to be the head of the wife. The wife is to help the husband. But the problem is that within God's church, within His church, we have allowed the culture to creep in and say, this is bad. This is not good. This is oppressive. This has led to the detriment of women throughout history. This is ugly. And we've allowed the culture to come into the church and say what God meant for good is bad, and to go right along with it, and to not speak of it because it could offend someone, when in fact it is meant to be the greatest blessing and the foundational authority that God established for all of mankind. There's nothing bad or evil about this at all. But the church acts as though it is. And I shouldn't say all around the church, but there is a large amount of Christians who don't understand this. In Genesis chapter 2, we see that Adam needed a helper suitable for him, and that Hebrew word helper there is used 117 times in the Old Testament. A majority of those times, it's either God's people crying out to God for His help, or it's the Scripture showing us that God is our helper. God is the one who helps us. I mean, just go to the book of Psalms. Our souls waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. That's Psalm 33:20. Psalm 37:40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Or Psalm 40:17. But I am poor and needy. The Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Ladies, do you understand that you are representing God's help? The glory of God, the goodness of God, and how He helps up. Ladies, you are representing that in the role that He has given you. The God-given role that you have is glorious and good and needed. And it's a blessing. Just as God is our helper, you are to help your husbands. This is good. The world says it's evil and distorted and ugly, and we need to be rid of it forever. And it's oppressive. No, this is God's foundational, relational, established authority from the Garden of Eden. And so, within the church, how often do we praise and lift up ladies that are doing so much ministry in the church and busy with all these ministries, serving outside of the church? They are, and that's a blessing. That's a good thing. But I think that we err on the side of lifting that up too much and not saying, wow, look at this woman who's such an amazing helper to her husband. Look at how her husband is respected by men. Look at how he's growing in as a spiritual leader. Look at how he leads in his home. Look at how he leads in the church. Look at how his wife helps him. and strengthens him in that role. Praise God for that woman. Look at how the Lord is using that woman. We don't lift up women and praise them like we should in that role. I mean, I would not be able to be in this position as pastor without my wife. I would not without her help. In fact, one of the reasons I knew that the Lord was calling me to be a pastor is because He had given Julie to me as a wife. And she was absolutely equipped to help in this role of being a pastor. That's why I said yes. I said, man, Lord, if you gave me Julie, then obviously you have a calling for me in this position, because look at how equipped, look at how much she can help in this role. So I very reluctantly and with great fear said yes to Pastor Bob 12 years ago. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Glorious, beautiful, good. And yes, there are errors, distortions, ways that husbands fall short and harm their wives. And we can go a whole list. And to be honest, every single marriage is unique. Every single situation different from any other situation. And the Lord knows and understands each one. But here's the thing, I believe the church has erred more in letting the culture say this is evil when it is not. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives even as yourself. Wives, respect your husbands. This is so good. The scriptures say, Pastor Bob, you brought this to our attention last Sunday night. Husbands, be warned. And show honor as the fellow heir of the grace of life. Let me just start back from the beginning of this verse. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Husbands, be warned. If you are not treating your wife correctly, God will not hear your prayers. He will shut His ears to your prayers. You will be praying in vain if you are not loving and serving your wife as you should be. So be warned. But then here's the other thing that is even better. Functioning as a husband and wife in this way is so good. It's so much of a blessing. I'm not tooting my own horn here, but last night, this is to the praise of the Lord, because it's only His power that made this possible in me. But doing the dishes at 10 o'clock last night, so that Julie would not have to worry about them and she'd have a clean kitchen in the morning, as hard as it was for me to start doing that, as I was doing it, I was praising God. Lord, thank You. Thank You for working in my heart. I am tired right now, But this is going to bless Julie. She's going to wake up so happy that this kitchen is clean. And this is your work in my heart, Lord. This is your power in me, serving my wife, sacrificing sleep time to love my wife right now and bless her. And there is more fulfillment in doing dishes at 10 o'clock than I think most anything in life to serve my wife. I was so fulfilled doing that last night. And I was praising God and thanking Him. Lord, help, thank you for getting me to this place. Because I know the Scripture says I am responsible for her. For her happiness, for her spiritual flourishing as her spiritual leader. As it says in Ephesians 6, which we're going to look at again in a little bit. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here washing these dishes right now and being happy and praising you about it and thankful rather than being critical and like, oh, man, Julie didn't do the dishes. I'm tired. Doesn't she know I have to preach tomorrow? What's wrong with her? You know, praise God, I was not thinking that way. And there's been plenty of times when I have thought that way. So believe me, I'm not Jesus. I'm just trying to give the Lord credit here for how He's working through the Scriptures in my heart. Thank you, Lord, that you've helped me and guided me in these things. Because as you were mentioning too the other Sunday night, Pastor Bob, as husbands, we are the priest, leader, we're the protectors, and we're the providers of our wives, of our families. And as we were told a couple Sundays ago, young men, you need to be preparing for that role. You need to be preparing yourselves to be spiritual leaders right now. If you hear and understand what I'm saying, if you have the Spirit of God in you, who will help you? He's got to be the one to help you. He's the one that helps in this. But be preparing for these things now. Be going towards Christ now. Be pressing into Him, leaning into Him. And as you do that, you'll be able to lead your wife to Him. Listen, wife, let's pray right now. Wife, let's look at the Scripture right now. What does the Bible say about this situation? What does the Bible say to do in this situation? What does the Lord say about this? Boys, you want to be men who rightfully handle the Word of truth. You're not deceived by false teaching. You're able to stand firm against the enemy. You're able to put on the armor of God. Start doing that now so that later you can lead your family. These are things that can only be done by the power of the Lord, by the work of the Spirit. Fathers, you are responsible to one day hand your daughters over to a man. Boys, one day you may be responsible to do the same. And fathers, you need to be ready to ask these questions of the man that comes and asks you for your daughter in marriage. This was very wise counsel that I heard. Fathers, you need to ask that young man, what is your testimony? You need to be able to know, is this man a believer? Is my wife going to be joined to a God-fearing, Jesus-loving man. Fathers, you need to ask this question. How much do you make? What's your annual salary? Tell me. What do you make? Because you got to provide for my wife, for my daughter. So you need to be making enough money to do that. So let's hear it. How much do you make in a year? What's your plans for when you're married? Where are you going to live? What are you going to do? Do you got a house? What's your plans? Because if you don't know the answer and you don't have the means to do it, you are not ready to marry my daughter. You need to wait. There's a lot that can be said about these things. But boys, remember, you're looking for a wife that is a God-fearing wife, that believes in Jesus, that serves Him. Don't get caught up in the exterior, in the beauty, in how attractive. You need to look to the heart. You need to see the heart of that woman and be able to recognize the glory and the beauty and the goodness of Christ in their heart. Look to the heart. And ladies, you need to be looking for a man that can be a spiritual leader, provide and protect you by the power of God working in him. Look to the heart. Again, most important decision that you'll make in your life. So make it very wisely and prayerfully. And seek wise counsel. These things are God's good design. The husband leading and the wife helping. This was the first established authority for mankind, and it is very good. We see that it was distorted at the fall, obviously, when sin came into the world. The curse for Eve was that her desire would be for her husband, but he will rule over you. Another way that Hebrew scholars have put that is, your desire will be to rule over your husband, but he will rule over you. So right there, the goodness of God and God's perfect design in husband and wife was distorted. And from that point on, husband wanted to chuck his responsibility to be the spiritual leader, and the woman was ready to take it up and be the one to rule. And that battle has been going on ever since. But again, we cannot let culture define what is good. We must let God define it. And God's good, acceptable, and perfect will is this: wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And as you pointed out, Pastor Bob, and you're absolutely right, this is to be a picture of the gospel. Christian marriage is to radiate the message of the gospel. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. Men, you are to be a head of your wife like Christ was a head of the church. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Wives, you are to represent the respect and submission that the church should have to Jesus. And I'm telling you, when this is in operation, it's the most beautiful thing in this life. It is absolutely gorgeous. And it radiates the glory of God. And it presents the gospel to everyone that sees it. And it is very good. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Washing dishes at 10 o'clock at night? Sacrifice, but nothing compared to the sacrifice that Christ laid down his life for the church. I was praising God last night because he's taken me another step further in sacrificing myself for the betterment of my wife. There's a lot more steps that I have to go because I want to be ready and willing to lay down my life for her. When the day of evil comes, whatever is necessary, that I would be at that point where I could lay down my life. Husbands, that is where you should be headed to, because it is good and beautiful and fulfilling, and you cannot do it apart from Christ working in you. You can't. So don't try. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Christ has sanctified us. He has cleansed us. Just like Cliff was saying, he had a short road to Jesus. There's been people that have a very long road to Jesus. And Jesus has sanctified both Cliff and that long road. Christian, equally the same. Both sanctified and holy. Because of his perfect sacrifice. Apart from Christ, your sins are an insurmountable there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to pay the Lord off, to earn his favor, to please him, that will cleanse you from all of the sins that you've done. And if you're married and not a Christian, times that times infinity, because you've messed up a whole lot as a husband. You need forgiveness. You need Christ's saving work. You need to receive him as Lord. And chuck any idea that you can earn God's favor and humble yourself and receive him as Lord. Especially if you're a husband, because I don't know. I just thought of this analogy. It's not working now that I started it. But point is, there's a lot of sins that you've committed apart from Christ as a husband. If you do not have the power of the Spirit working in you. Yeah, maybe you've been nice to your wife, but it's been for selfish reasons. You haven't had the pure motive of, I'm going to die for my wife. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. This is what Christ has done for the church. And as I've been thinking about this, I believe that the most fulfilling part of seeing the goodness of this, the goodness of the role of the wife, the goodness of the role of the husband, is that these are the very things that Jesus is working out in each the husband and the wife, in each of us. He's working these things into us, sanctifying us, loving us. And so as we are fully committed to doing these very good things, we are working right along with Jesus. We are working right along with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is empowering us to do these things. So, church, absolutely, we've made mistakes in this area of husband and wife. But I believe that the biggest mistake that we're making right now is that we're agreeing with the culture that God's design for marriage is not good. That is the greatest problem that is within the church. If we want strong families, well, here's number one, numero uno. This is where we got to have it right. We got to start with number one. And then keep working from there. Because we want to be a church that's strong. We want to be a church that has strong families. We want to show the world how good God is. And this is how we're going to do it. One of the ways that we're going to do it. Okay. So, the family is the foundational established order of God for mankind. We want to have strong families. We want to have strong marriages. The next order of authority that God lays down for families: children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. And so we'll look at that next time. Pray. Pray. Pray for the kids. Now would be a good time to say that on May 16th, we're going to be having a baptism. Jacob Famania has come. And he's come to his parents and said, I want to be baptized. And he's come to me and he said, I want to be baptized. And I've talked with him. He's talked with his parents. I've talked to his parents. And we're excited to say that Jacob will be baptized on the 16th. And Jacob, the Lord is going to work in your heart to make you love, honoring, and obeying your parents. And you are going to bless your parents. You're going to honor them because God is working in your heart. So we need to pray for the kids. There's two other kids in our church that have come asking about baptism. And I've talked with them and they're talking to their parents. And we need to pray for the kids. We have a big mission field right here in the church. Pray for them. But we're excited that we'll get to celebrate that in a couple Sundays.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and holy Father, thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence today. We ask that your Spirit would lead us to be the people that would shine forth and that you could lift up our horn to this community, to this world, that we are your children. Guide us, work in our lives, that we will be an honor and a praise unto you in all that we do and say. Guide us now as we leave this place, but not your presence. We ask in thy most holy name. Amen.
Amen.